Wherever cancer is, Hancock Health will fight. In any part of you and in all corners of East Central Indiana. From Indianapolis to Greenfield to Knightstown to Rushville. From hospital rooms to family rooms, we fight. With technology and medicine, with care backed by the wisdom of Mayo Clinic. For you, for your family, and for your future in Rush County. We fight cancer here. HancockHealth.org/cancer.
Good morning. It is Friday, April 19th, 5 minutes after 11. You're listening to Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. So the far right House Freedom Caucus, you're familiar with them. They have formed a new team, and it's a subset of the Freedom Caucus. And the entire point of this group is to make sure that Mike Johnson or other Republicans don't try to limit their power. The name of this group is the Floor Action Response Team, also known as FART. It's not a joke. They're calling themselves FART. Sounds about right.
There's no way they didn't know that when they were doing it. Right?
Well, I mean, Lauren Boebert was out saying, hey, I'm a mom of four boys. I can appreciate that. FART. Yeah. Sounds about right.
There's no way they didn't know that that's what they were doing.
So all of this started when, Mike Johnson started supporting the funding bill, the $1.2 trillion funding bill to avert the shutdown. And also that he's made it clear that he wants the House to vote on additional USAID to Ukraine. So the Freedom Caucus now has a subset of even more angry people calling it FART.
So the goal of this group is to like prevent shenanigans from happening on the House floor.
That's their idea.
That's their their thing.
Yeah.
We can chuckle about this all we want all day, but our government is a mess, and part of life, part of being an adult, part of being a decent member of society, part of being a good father or a good husband or a good mother or wife is living up to your obligations to other people. And that's true in business, and that's true as just a human being in general. It's true as a friend. It's true as a family member. And it certainly should be true, although almost never is, when it comes to our politicians. That they don't live up to their obligation, the deals they make with the public when they run. And we are seeing, once again, in real time, where the Republican Party has given in or folded or succumbed to, or just quite frankly, in many cases, that's what they want to do, special interest at the expense of the American people. Mm-hmm. And so once again, you're going to see the military-industrial complex propped up and fully funded, foreign wars and foreign conflicts fully funded. Things we have nothing to do with or not involved in, fully funded at the expense of what's going on here at home. And southern borders not being taken care of, inflation not being addressed, but Ukraine's going to get their money and Israel's going to get their money and Taiwan's going to get their money. What are you getting? What are you getting?
Higher prices.
Yeah, I mean, look, Ukraine is not my responsibility. And this boogeyman argument, you can call me cold or heartless or whatever, the Putin boogeyman argument doesn't fly with me. Because you know when the last time I heard the, well, not the last time, but when I was when I first caught on to the boogeyman premise was in 2003 with the country of Iraq and how if we don't go into Iraq, well, you could all end up in a mushroom cloud. And he's got nuclear weapons and he's aiding and abetting terrorists. And we went in there and we were there for years and years and years. And that entire area is still a mess and no weapons of mass destruction were ever found. And terrorists are still being aided and abetted by Middle Eastern countries. And I do not believe for a second that Putin would be moving on NATO. This was about Putin trying to take back a portion of land that he believed belonged to him. Now, reasonable people can disagree with that. Different people can come to different conclusions on whether that's accurate or not. But what he was doing had nothing to do with us, and we made it about us because that's what we do. And the bullets and the weapons that we're going to give to Ukraine are going to be made here, and it's going to make a bunch of people who prop up these politicians very rich and very wealthy. And the same thing's going to happen with Israel, and the same thing's going to happen with Taiwan. And so if you're fine paying exorbitant prices for food and for gas and for medicine and for housing, if you're fine not being able to afford life so that countries that don't even like us in some cases can get free stuff, then you're probably pretty happy about what's transpiring here. Me, I think this sucks because I'm sick of not being able to afford life.
Matt Gaetz is a member of the FART team, the Floor Action Response Team. And I saw this and I thought it was kind of interesting. It comes from Interactive Polls. And this is a poll for 2026 Florida governor.
Oh.
Republican primary. 2026 Florida governor.
Yep.
They've got Casey DeSantis polling at 38% and Matt Gaetz at 16%.
Does she even want to be in politics?
I don't know. But isn't that fascinating that the wife of Ron DeSantis is doing better than someone who's in the fart team?
Well, look.
He's the crack fart team.
He's done a heck of a job. And I get that one individual member of Congress is not going to be able to change the Congress. There's 435 representatives. But let's face it, the House of Representatives, of which Matt Gaetz has been a member of for quite a while now, is completely ineffective. The Republican Party is completely ineffective. And I think that's kind of where people are at. Like, I was driving into work today, Casey, and it is rare that this happens to me, but I was just like thinking about everything that's going on in this country right now. And I was thinking about everything that's going on in our state right now. And you just kind of throw your hands up. And I get why people check out of the process, or some people never check in to begin with, because you just go, where do you even start? Mm. It's so screwed up. And there doesn't appear to be much of anybody out there raising their hand going, I'll fix it. Put it on my shoulders. I'll take this. I'll carry this ball. I'll fight for you. And if the people that we elect are not going to fight for us, what can we do? What do we do? And so I think that's where a lot of people are right now. They just feel overwhelmed with this whole process. They know their lives are not better. They know their lives are getting worse. They worry about their kids having a better life than they did. And quite frankly, they worry about affording the necessities.
So this seems like an appropriate time for this conversation. How many farts a day is considered normal? And I'm not talking about the Floor Action Response Team.
Right.
I'm talking about actual gas.
Yeah. Like, and how many times do you fart?
Yeah, how many times is normal? When should you be worried? According to Dr. William Che, who's from the University of Michigan, passing gas between 5 and 15 times a day is normal. Of course, factors like your diet and mm-hmm. your gut bacteria
yep.
are going to influence how much gas you produce and also the smell.
I mean, you know, they told us the other day, not everything needs a take. Mm-hmm. And so I think I'm going to apply that to this one, Casey.
You're going to pass on
I'm going to pass. I see what you did there. I see what you did there. All right. Hey, look, we got to take a break.
Okay.
You have early voted. Is that correct?
Well, I filled out the WIBC GOP survey.
Okay. All right. So you haven't officially cast your vote, but you did fill out. So right now, if you go to mm-hmm. WIBC.com, there's mm-hmm. a survey there. We encourage everybody to take it. It's who, you know, kind of getting the lay of the land of how people are feeling about the governor's race, how mm-hmm. they're feeling about the congressional race. And Casey revealed to me who she voted for.
In the GOP survey at
WIBC.
It's
just the most perfect thing ever, and I'd like to discuss it when we come back.
Okay. It's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. Good morning. It's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC.
People can't see you lip singing.
Jamming over here.
Is it? Oh, it's my turn to talk, isn't
yeah.
it?
You said there was something you wanted to mention.
Okay, so there's this survey that we're saying, hey, if you're a WIBC listener, if you just head over to WIBC.com, we were just kind of curious, mm-hmm. like, how are people feeling about the governor's race? How are they feeling about these congressional races? Because obviously there's all sorts of primaries going on, and we're not trying to do some super scientific anything. We're curious to get a feel of how our audience is doing. And so if you head over to WIBC.com, you take this survey. It takes literally 20 seconds, mm-hmm. and you just say, hey, in the governor's race, I'm thinking about voting for so-and-so. And in my U.S. congressional district, I'm thinking about voting for so-and-so. And Casey, you took the survey.
I did.
And I have no problem telling people how I took mine. I said I'm going to vote for Jamie Rittenour in the governor's race as a protest vote for them kicking her off the stage, even though she qualified to run for governor. And in my race, Charles Bookwalter over right. Jim Baird, because I would vote for an aged banana peel over Jim Baird, and everyone else should too.
Yeah.
You said, "Why?" You know, I took the survey too.
I did. I went to WIBC.com and I took the GOP primary voter survey.
And
I wanted to walk through the process just to know what we're inviting our listeners to do.
Did you actually do some research on this? Because you are in the 7th, which is Marion County.
Yeah.
And you have a contested congressional primary mm-hmm. on the Republican side.
Yeah.
And did you actually do some research on the candidates?
Well, clearly not enough.
What did you do? Like, what did you look into?
Here's what happened. So I went to WIBC.com,
yeah.
and you got to put in an email, and then it's, I don't know, what is it, like 10 questions? It doesn't take long at all.
No, it's very fast.
And you just, select the thing, and then you move on to the next question. And being in the 7th district, I knew Andre Carson is my current
representation. Yes, that's correct. Mm-hmm.
And then the list comes up of GOP
right.
candidates.
Sure.
And I looked at the list and I was like, oh right, Gabe Whitley. Well, not gonna select him.
Of course, he's under investigation from the FEC and the IED over
right.
donors that don't exist. Mm-hmm. And of course, now he's got this issue making up a veterans group that he claimed endorsed him that nobody can seem to locate. And so
right.
he's got a litany of issues. So he would obviously be a no-go for any person with any amount of common sense. But
right.
but then you had others you had to try to choose from.
Well, and then I thought, okay, you know what? Let me look up who these people are. And the first person I looked up was Jennifer Pace. And I said, okay, sure, why not? I mean, I knew that this was just for the WIBC
right.
survey.
Right.
So this isn't my actual vote. And I read that she had been in advertising, and I thought, okay, I can support this. It's not Gabe Whitley. And she runs in the same, circle business
right.
that I'm familiar with.
Sure.
So that's just good as anybody else,
perfect,
right?
Perfect, yeah. Yeah, and then I feel like you missed something that was kind of would have stood out to me when I was reviewing the options there in the 7th. There was something that stood out about her to me that apparently didn't make it onto your...
When I Googled her, her obituary did not show up.
Yeah, she's deceased.
Yeah.
Yeah. So apparently, tragically, this lady, Jennifer Pace,
mm-hmm.
did pass away. Abdul said it was in March.
Right, but she's still on the ballot.
But she's on the ballot. Because the February was the filing deadline, so she is on
mm-hmm.
the ballot.
Yeah.
And Abdul actually voted for her.
Intentionally.
And he actually tweeted about it when he voted for her, like in real life. So you just did this on the survey.
Mm-hmm.
Here is what, should I read what Abdul tweeted when he actually physically in person cast his vote
yeah.
for her? All right. Normally I don't discuss who I vote for, but today I'll make an exception. In the GOP primary, I voted for Jennifer Pace for Congress. She was dead when I voted, but I figured a dead January 6th election denier would make a better candidate for would make for a better congressional candidate than Gabe Whitley.
Mm-hmm.
And that's hard to argue with.
Yeah.
Here's what I think would be the greatest thing ever
mm-hmm.
would be if, and again, very sorry this lady did pass away, but if the deceased lady ended up getting more votes than Gabe Whitley.
Yeah, that would be something. So now that I know that information, I'm down to Catherine Ping or Philip Davis.
Yeah.
And first glance, it looks like Catherine Ping served in the military.
She did, yeah. She's been around a long time.
Army National Guard. So
yeah.
That's, that's a nice thing. I was told, by the way, when we were at the front porch.
Do you feel bad you voted for a dead person? Do you feel bad? I mean, not that you put a bunch of research into this. This wasn't your actual vote.
No. I mean, it was the WIBC thing. It's not like it was, and I was just doing it so that I knew what questions we were asking
sure,
our
right.
listeners.
I understand.
They'll probably throw my answers out anyway. But in real life, had I done that,
yeah
I probably would have felt... I would have felt stupid. Like, why didn't I know that?
I do desperately want the deceased lady to get more votes than Gabe does. That would be just the most appropriate thing ever. Because he's going to get dealt with in due time by the other IED, FEC, et cetera. But in the meantime, I think him for the election, the best president, present our listeners could send would be if the deceased lady ended up with more
with
votes.
With more votes than
what were
him.
You saying? The Front Porch Patriots.
Somebody had met, somebody that I met at the Front Porch Patriot event with Micah.
Yeah.
Was, I think it was Air Force. He was wearing the hat, and I thanked him for his service. And he said he was a longtime listener and that he was giving you all sorts of accolades.
Oh, that was nice of him.
And he said, one thing that I think that you guys need to do more often is acknowledge our military. Don't and we, I said, okay.
Don't we do that quite a bit?
You wanted to hear it more.
Oh, well, now we're doing it.
So I thought this is a good opportunity.
Yes.
I was reminded of that when I noticed that Catherine Ping had served in the Army National Guard. I thought, okay, let's take this chance.
And she'll probably end up being the nominee. She's been around a long time. She's run for a couple of public offices before. She's, by all accounts, a very nice, normal person. Has probably actual donors who really exist and doesn't get endorsed by phony, fake veterans groups. And so, I mean, that's the bar the Marion County GOP is at now, Casey. That's how low the Marion County GOP has fallen and how low they've set the bar. That Catherine Ping is the best choice because she probably has actual, live, living, real donors, and she isn't making up veterans groups that have endorsed her.
Right.
That's our bar for the Marion County GOP now.
It is Kendall and Casey. It's 93 WIBC. And Dickie Betts, the Allman Brothers co-founding guitarist. He passed away. He was 80 years old. Of course, he was behind the classics like Ramblin' Man and Jessica. And this guy could really play some guitar. Here he is talking about how he picked guitar when he was young.
Well, I started playing music when I was 3 or 4 years old. I played ukulele and mandolin and the banjo. And I don't know, when I got, I was playing a lot of country music, it's like bluegrass. And when I reached 16 years old around there, I got into Chuck Berry and Duane Eddy and started playing the teen clubs and things like that. And I got into guitar, electric guitar.
So, Ramblin' Man, one of those songs that has been played over and over and over again since its release.
Sure.
On the radio. And he was asked how many times Ramblin' Man has been played. And he had an answer for it.
I received an award from BMI for, it's called a Millionaire's Award. And that means that the song has been played over a million times on the radio. Mm-hmm. And they explained to me that if you gave that record to one radio station and said just play Ramblin' Man in your format until you've played it a million times, it would take them seven years to finish playing it a million times.
They'd have to play it nonstop.
So I was thinking about that interview because I was watching a Jackson Browne something on him the other day. And they're talking about some of the stories behind the songs. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking to myself, so like my parents' generation would have been the people, in this case, the Doobie Brothers, who consumed the Doobie Brothers in real time. So the kind of appreciation for that music and an interest to hear interviews like that was passed down to me because in a weird way, they were still living. And I sort of experienced it through my parents.
Mm-hmm.
I do wonder, though, where the stories and the meanings and the songs themselves go now that my generation is having kids, or certainly the generation after that, because the actual life experience of that music is now being removed by generations. And you think about a song like A Ramblin' Man that had so much impact on so many lives. Does it ultimately, though, get lost to time and all the meaning and love and joy those songs brought to people over time? Does it just fade away? Does it all disappear? Does it, you know, are these, will there be people that'll still in mass be finding this music going, oh my gosh, this is so great, without somebody being there really to tell them or point it out to them?
And I think it's, a lot of it will be archived on YouTube, that sort of thing. I mean, that interview with him was from 1984.
But how do people find it and how do they stop?
Yeah.
You know, that's the key, right? YouTube's a rabbit hole. You can whatever.
Right.
But how do you, unless your parents are telling you, you know, unless, I mean, I didn't know about the Doobie Brothers because I had done some great in-depth research as a kid. I knew about it, like, because my parents would listen to that music. So you become familiar with it. So you, as an adult, you become, or as a teenager or whatever, you become interested in it, try to learn about it. And that sort of stuff stays with you throughout your existence. I wonder
if a genre like that will stick around.
Right.
Is it timeless?
But,
you know, they say there's those years that music was created, that the rock era.
Sure.
Late 70s.
69 to 74.
Right.
The greatest music in the history of the world. I mean, you had almost every big name artist was active 1969 and 1974. It's incredible.
So is that just going to be a timeless?
Well, that's,
you know, capsule.
But there's also the meaning behind the stuff, right? So like for the people that I listen to, like a great example would be Michael Stanley. You know, I love Michael Stanley and the Michael Stanley Band. Michael Stanley was this, outside of the Midwest, largely kind of obscure artist who had a couple of big regional hits in the late 70s, early 80s. Well, who now is seeking outside of Cleveland, Ohio, Michael Stanley?
Right, right.
And will 10 years from now, anybody, because as that generation unfortunately starts to die off, and you know, new, like where does the meaning behind all these great songs that brought all this great meaning to all these people, what does that just evaporate? And all does it, you know, it really does bother me a little bit, like just hearing that interview about what seemed like a really good dude and obviously made all this great music and had a lot of interesting things to talk about. I just wonder if how that energy and that meaning and stuff gets captured going forward for future generations.
You're listening to Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. All I want, born a rambling man. 7.5 years now with this song. It is Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. Let's talk about the Yahoo Boys. These are a smooth-talking group of scammers.
Oh.
They're using face-swapping technology in their carrying out some pretty elaborate romance scams.
Face swapping. So this is the face-off Nicolas Cage, John Travolta movie come to real life.
Well, except for they're not actually removing the top layer of their face and putting it on someone else. They're doing it with apps and technology.
Oh.
Yeah. So this is a group of guys, and it's like the Nigerian prince
who
sends you the email,
sure,
and you can help him if you send him a bunch of money. There's been more than $650 million lost to this romance fraud group. They're not an organized group.
Right.
They have no leader, but they're just this collection of con artists that are known as the Yahoo Boys.
Oh, and so they're pretending to be other people, and then their goal is to get you to give them gifts and mm-hmm. monies, et cetera, thinking you're in some sort of long distance relationship with
them. Yes, that's the thing.
Right.
They'll target women,
uh-huh,
and they use this face swapping technology.
Yeah.
And they sit there on their camera and they do all the smooth talking, but I could really use your help with finances.
Sure.
And the woman gives up the money, and in fact, it's not even who she thought she was talking to. Deep fake.
Yeah, dating seems like a death trap these days. Like attempting to find any sort of reasonable human being that you can enjoy sharing, I don't know, some sort of sustained relationship with, much less a life with. And I feel bad for the younger generation because they are, over time, phasing out the importance of in-person, you know, we talked about this many times,
mm-hmm,
in-person conversations, meeting someone in person, walking up to a random person and having a conversation with them. That to me was one of the great parts of dating, was getting to know people and learn about them and find out, do I have an interest in having an experience with this person? And that's, it sounds like more and more just, it's all gone.
And the thing is, they're bragging about this, how they're doing it. There are videos out online showing how they're doing these scams. Like, they're proud of it.
So somehow through artificial intelligence, right, they don't look the way they actually look, and so it's hard to, like, you wouldn't be able to find this person once the
right
scam is up. And they,
but they're using two phones, and one phone is like the FaceTime connection.
Sure.
The other phone is using all of the AI face swapping technology. So when you're on the other line doing a FaceTime or a Zoom call,
yeah,
you could be talking to a, you know, an attractive man with a square jaw and a beard and looks good.
Looks just like Kevin.
Right, when in fact, the person on the other end looks nothing like that.
Right.
And see, doesn't look like Kevin at all.
This game, what is the movie? No Country for Old Men, mm-hmm. No Dating for Old Men. Because like when I was dating, if somebody had a webcam, you know, you could prove it. Hey, you got to get on the webcam. And then it became,
show me the newspaper.
If you got a cellular telephone, mm-hmm. it's like now, hey, take a quick video of yourself or whatever. Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, like you're saying, unless you physically meet someone in person and stick your finger out and touch them,
right.
and that person is real and your finger doesn't go through them.
You don't know. Well, and what kind of person are you that you're having this online relationship, which is fine, but they start asking you for money and you've never met them in person? Well, isn't that where a red flag goes up?
Well, it should. But again, I think as we have just ingrained in people the lack of in-person encounters mm-hmm. and relationships and those sort of things. And then I think these people are so good at it, Casey, that they don't just right away start asking you for money. And
they milk it along for a while.
Scammers are really good at this sort of stuff. And that, like you said, now you don't really have anything to go off of because you're not even seeing the person you're actually with. Once you figure out the scam, how do you catch the culprit? It seems like a pretty miserable thing to go through.
Yeah, next level scamming, it's here. Susan Beckwith is going to join us next, and we're going to talk Derby.
Derby etiquette, mm-hmm. It's right around the corner.
Talk Derby to me.
Don't go to Kentucky with bad etiquette. We'll tell you how to prepare coming up next.
It's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC.
It is time to wrap up the work week, and as we do each week on this very fabulous show, we send you, our adoring public, into the weekend with the tools and traits and, well, general pleasant demeanor and manners necessary to be a productive member of society. We call the segment, Casey, mm-hmm. Mind Your Manners.
It's a good thing that we have Susan Beckwith to be that nice, productive, pleasant person.
Yeah, because as you showed with Chuck Pagano this week, you sure don't have it.
We fail sometimes,
absolutely.
Don't we?
Absolutely. And yeah, Susan Beckwith, she is the star of the Mind Your Manners segment, former Miss Indiana. All right, Susan, the Kentucky Derby is actually just 2 weeks away, and you said we must talk about Kentucky Derby etiquette.
I would love to go to the Derby someday, so this is part of my ploy to, you know, send to my husband to say, this is something I really want to do, so let's make it happen.
Is he busy this year? Does he have something going on that will prohibit you from going?
Absolutely. We are in full-on campaign mode, and it's been awesome. But, yes, it's not going to happen this year, which is sad because it is the 150th anniversary. So it's a really big one. So I'm sad we're going to miss it, but maybe next year.
All right. So I'm totally for it. You've never been because your whole thing is you're like a Midwestern belle. You're a Southern belle transplanted into Indiana. I'm for it. You've never actually been to the Kentucky Derby.
I am surprised as well. My father actually lives in Southern Kentucky, so I'm sad that I haven't been there. It is definitely a mission of mine. So I want to be familiar with the protocol, the etiquette. So I've actually been doing some research, and I thought that might be something interesting for your listeners as well.
So there's actual rules for the... Oh, Casey's showing me a photo right now. You've been to the Kentucky Derby.
I have been to the Kentucky Derby.
Is that your husband?
I'm jealous!
There's some man you're photographed with. Is that your husband?
Yeah, it is.
I couldn't tell.
And Susan, I was actually at the Derby at the 140th, so it was a decade ago that I was there at the Derby.
And you should post this photo up at Casey Daniels 317 on Twitter, Casey. Mm-hmm. She has the big floppy hat. Is that our first piece of etiquette, Susan? You must wear a big floppy hat if you're a woman.
Well, that's part of the reason I want to go, but it really depends on where you're sitting. So the more expensive your tickets, the more formal your look should be. But there is an area that's much more casual. I would attribute it to our infield here, that it's much, the atmosphere, the party is very different, probably be objective, but yes, there are areas that absolutely they encourage you to be very dressed up and formal, and your hat should actually coordinate with your outfit.
Oh, so Casey, that was apparently, you were in the rich people seats, it looks like.
Well, okay, so the thing about the Kentucky Derby, it's a weekend long event, and on Friday night, it's called the Oaks, and everyone wears pink, including the men. If you want to see a picture of Jim in pink pants, I've got it.
I love it.
Okay, so...
Casey, do you know why they wear pink?
I'm sure I did it one time. I don't remember.
Actually, I found this interesting. So it's to raise awareness for breast cancer and ovarian cancers, and they actually have a survivor's parade that happens before the race takes place. Place where they walk around the track.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one reason, but also the official flower that they give to the winner of the Oaks is the Stargazer Lily, which is pink. And they also have an official drink called the Lily that is pink in hue. So those are all kind of the reasons why pink is encouraged for the Oaks.
What's the name of it? What's the name of that drink?
The Lily.
Casey, did you get super boozed up on the Lily on the night before the Derby?
No, I don't recall that. And now that you mention it was for breast cancer awareness, that rings true to me. But I did have quite a few mint juleps.
Okay, Susan Beckman's our guest. It's Mind Your Manners. We're getting you prepared for the Kentucky Derby, which is just 2 weeks away. In fact, it's 2 weeks from tomorrow. Susan, you mentioned that you had to do research on this about the etiquette for the Kentucky Derby. Where is this written down? And Casey, did you know that there is a general, there is Jim with the pink pants, by the way, that there's a general list of code of conduct for the Kentucky Derby?
Well, there are lots of resources, but a lot of the ones that I took for this segment was from Diana Gottsman, who is an etiquette coach out of Texas that I really enjoy following. So she had some great points. Now, the article that I was using as a resource was a little bit dated, so some of her pricing on tickets was off because it's significantly gone up, and box seats can be anywhere starting at $5,700.
How much?
I mean, it's a very $5,700 for those seats, but I mean, there is a range. I think the cheapest seats that you can get are around $160.
That sounds like it.
Wait.
That's where I was sitting.
Wait. You said somebody 5,700 and then two zeros at the end?
That's for the premium box seats. You know, so those are like the amazing VIP, you know.
What do you get to ride? You get to ride the horse afterwards? Or what do you get for that?
That'd be amazing. I'm the size of some jockeys, so that would be, you know.
Okay, so what is kind of one or two, if you say, hey, look, when you're going to the Kentucky Derby, here is the number one thing you need to be thinking about when you walk in those gates.
Obviously, we've touched on attire and being mindful of that, but some of the other traditions, I actually did not know this. I'm sure Casey did, but as far as they sing after the race, My Kentucky Home. Mm-hmm. So, yes, that's, and they also, the official drink is the mint julep, which I hear. So a lot of people actually do prefer the Lily.
So wait, you got two options. I got to choose when I go out there.
Well, the thing in Kentucky,
can I double fist them?
Yes, you can double fist them, and I believe it's encouraged actually. But a good Kentucky bourbon will get you far as well.
Oh, how exciting!
If you just want it neat.
All right. Do you want to disclose how much you drank at the Kentucky Derby? Do you want to tell us?
Did someone
have to pick you up off the dirt? Or
no, nobody had to pick me up. And it's a long day. Another thing people don't realize about the Kentucky Derby, when you say the Kentucky Derby, the actual Kentucky Derby race is only one race
out of
the entire day. There's about 16 to 17 races throughout the day. The Kentucky Derby race is typically about the 14th or 15th race. So it's a long day, especially it's very much like the Indy 500. If you're going to get there early, you have to pace yourself.
Yeah.
Many times it's warm and sunny, and you can go to like the infield, and that's where people are not dressed with the big hats and the floral dresses and the suits and the ties. They're much more casual, and in many cases, very celebratory.
Having a good time,
yes,
yeah.
Yes. And you can, you know, take your own belongings with you. And then, as Susan mentioned, there's the bench seats, and the price goes up the higher you go and closer you get to the box.
All right, Susan, before we wrap up, we have a very important question for you, but I want to give you an opportunity. Is there another thing, like something if people are planning on heading to the Kentucky Derby that they should absolutely keep at the forefront when it comes to proper etiquette and manners?
Well, I did want to share that, you know, Casey had mentioned that it's a whole weekend full of festivities, but actually it starts 2 weeks prior. So
what?
There is an event that kind of kicks it off with the Thunder Under Louisville, which is happening tomorrow, which is a big light display show. So, I mean, there's just a lot. So if you are interested in going, you could certainly make it a very fun and festive occasion where you could pack a lot in, and it has a lot to offer other than just the race. So, yeah, and no, I hope to get there. I will for sure be wearing the biggest hat I can find.
Okay. So Casey and I got into a big debate about this. Was this last week we got into this? I think it was. You, and you're the perfect person to ask this because your father, as you said, lives in Kentucky. Mm-hmm. You're a Hoosier. So what is the bigger event, the bigger single-day event? Is the Kentucky Derby or the Indy 500?
Well, I think ours is the largest one-day spectator sport in the world, or at least that's what I thought.
Right.
I should know that. I'm a former 500 festival friend.
Yes, you should. You participated in it. You should know that. You are indeed correct. Yeah, I think we both agreed, right, Casey? The Indy 500 is the bigger deal. Like, if you were to stop some guy in Bozeman, Montana, mm-hmm. and ask them, mm-hmm. they would say that the Indy 500 is a bigger deal than the Kentucky Derby.
I mean, I think it's a very different flavor and probably attracts very different types of people. But I've done the Indy 500. It's wonderful. I love it. I love race season. But I definitely hope to get to the Churchill Downs and be a part of that someday.
When you were a 500 princess, you ever do like a beer bong in the infield or the snake pit on race day? Is that like part of your responsibility?
No, it was not. I did change a tire, though, and they were impressed. That I, you know, petite little me.
How did you even lift it? Those things are huge. Those tires on those cars are so wide and big.
You know what? I was very blessed. The year of Miss Indiana, they give you all kinds of stuff. So I had a personal trainer. I was, you know, I lifted weights at that time.
Lots of perks being Miss Indiana.
Boy, howdy. All right. Hey, tell us about your very fabulous website and Facebook page, Belle of the Midwest.
It's a great resource for all things social etiquette. There's also a great series this year that we launched all about different bells of the Bible and what makes them special and unique. So I hope you check it out. It's also a great place to submit your etiquette questions, so be sure to do that. And if you don't follow me already on social media, I'm at Belle of the Midwest on both Instagram and Facebook.
Belle of the Midwest, Belle of the Midwest.com. Also find it on Facebook. Susan Beckwith, you're the best. Thank you.
Have a great weekend.
Yeah, you too. And you'll get between those twin spires one day with your own mint julep.
This is where you tell us to go home, Casey.
Yeah, thanks, Rob.
Show's over.
Thank you, Kevin. Thank you for listening today. Have a great weekend. We'll catch you back here Monday. This has been Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC.